as Tim did share, we do have a baptism this morning with Jonathan Ross, so that's very exciting. And I just want to share a couple verses on baptism, and I think there's a few things that hopefully all of us can find something to be encouraged by as well. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 3, we can see where Jesus was baptized. And in verse 13, I'm going to start there. And it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So really simply put, I think we can see that Jesus, as our example, was baptized. And we hear that Jonathan wants to follow in that example, which is exciting. And not only that, we can see, I think, the whole situation was pleasing to the Father because he chose to make his voice heard. "This is my Son, right, in whom I'm well pleased." And I think this was one more step in the process of him following his Father's will. And it pleased the Father to see him doing that. The next verse. "Then Jesus, after he was baptized, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? You ever thought about that? Why would he want us to be tempted? And he led him there so the devil could tempt him. That's interesting. And I was thinking about that, and there's a verse here in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says the following. I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various temptations." I changed the word. It's the same Greek word. The Greek word there can be trials or temptations. Interesting. "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold or precious stones or jewels that perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know what? God allows us to be tempted for a purpose, to see the genuineness of us, our faith, so that our faith will end up bringing him praise, honor, and glory. That's why we go through trials. That's why we go through temptations. Why did Jesus go through temptations? I think it's for the same reason, to show the genuineness of his faith, that it would bring glory to his heavenly Father. And so I would put forth that we also are going to go through temptations to test our faith, to show us what kind of faith it is. Better to know now than on the day the Lord returns. Let's know now, do we have genuine faith? Because genuine faith is going to be able to overcome the temptation. And if we're lacking, we want to then go to him now and say, "Lord, improve the quality of this faith I have because it's kind of lacking," right? So that we can start to have faith that will overcome the temptations and the trials. That's what he wants to give us, so that it will then praise, honor, and glory on the day when he returns. It's going to bring him honor and glory. Verse 2, it says something here back in Matthew chapter 4. It says, "When Jesus had fasted 40 days and nights, afterward he was hungry." He was very hungry after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm hungry after one day, never mind 40 days. So obviously, he'd be very tempted or have a great desire for food, which in and of itself is not wrong, but what do we see here? "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And so Jesus was very careful not just to do whatever he wanted, but he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And so he had to overcome this temptation to just feed his natural desire by going to what God's word, it is written. And I think there's a couple of things here we can learn. One is, when are we tempted? When was Jesus tempted to turn this stone into bread? When he was really hungry. He was tempted at, I'm going to use a specific word here, at an opportune time. That word is used in the Gospel of Luke. After all the temptations are over, it said the devil departed. I'll turn there, Luke chapter 3, just so you can see it. Because when are you and I going to be tempted by the devil? Specifically when? Luke chapter 4, verse 13. After all the temptations are over, what does it say? 4, verse 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. In other words, he's going to come back and tempt him again. But when's he going to come? At an opportune time, when he's weak. And when does he tempt you and me? When we're weak. Jesus was very weak. He was very hungry. That's when the temptation came. And so, you know what? It's kind of designed that way. He comes when we're weak. Our adversary, the devil, he's pretty sharp. He knows when there's more of a chance to get us to stumble. He comes when we're weak. But yet, you know what? God allows all of that. Remember, he's the one who sent Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And what do we know? Is that it says in 2 Corinthians, turn here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is amazing. Man, sometimes we're so weak when we're tempted, but what does it say? Verse 9, and Jesus said to Paul, when he was being buffeted by Satan, interesting, same person buffeting him, bringing him these temptations, these trials. And what did the Lord say to Paul? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses and for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Interesting. The same devil that tempted Jesus was tempting or giving trials or tests or temptations to Paul when he was weak, right? Why? God allowed it all. For what purpose? Because God's strength is made perfect when we're weak. His grace is going to be sufficient. God doesn't allow us to become really weak and then to be tempted so we stumble, but so that in that moment of weakness, we go to him. We go to God and we prove that his grace is sufficient for us. And we overcame not because of our own intellect, our own strength, our own ability, but it's all going to bring him glory. All the glory goes to God because he helps us to overcome the temptations and the trials in the midst of our weakness. I was really encouraged by that. There's a purpose. When we're going to go through temptation, but it's going to bring him praise, honor, and glory, and we're going to feel like we're really weak, but that's okay because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I wanted to emphasize something else. I'm not going to go through all the temptations, but we know the next temptation, the devil took a scripture and tempted Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He then responded with a different scripture. It is written again. It is also written. And so what do we see here is that Jesus knew God's word. He was studying the scriptures. It didn't just happen by itself. When he was 3, he didn't understand all the scriptures. He was studying. Where was he when he was 12? He was in the temple studying, right? He was interacting with the spiritual leaders. He was trying to understand God's word. And so I would put forth to all of us, even those that are young, and I think of Jonathan today, we need to hide God's word in our heart. And it says in 2 Timothy, let me finish here, verse 2. This is kind of a verse I want to leave with Jonathan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I'm going to put in a word here. Jonathan, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent, all of us, from when we're young until when we're losing all of our hair and we're gray-headed, to be diligent to get into God's word. Because that's how we're going to overcome some of these temptations. It is written, just like Jesus, our forerunner, did. He knew the word of God, and he used it to build his faith, and he put his confidence in his faith in God's word to overcome. And so we also need to do the same. And not only that, rightly dividing the word of truth, which all of us need to grow in. Not one of us understands it all perfectly yet. Doesn't matter how little hair we have. We haven't arrived yet. We still need to do that. Even Jesus had to discern. Hold on, the devil's quoting a verse. Is it rightly divided? No, but it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And so I want to encourage all of us, right, to be diligent, to study God's word so that we can rightly divide it. When? Well, many times, but especially in our moment of weakness and temptation when we're being tempted, so that we can then overcome. And so I want to leave that verse with Jonathan as well.